Okay.
Okay, this is the Accessibility Training Course Review Subcommittee, November 20th, 2006, meeting at Broward County Library in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. I'm Jeffrey Gross, chairman of the Accessibility TAC. The subcommittee members today will take role. Jeff Gross is here. Bill Narkunis is absent. Larry M. Schneider is absent. Femi Eustace.
Here.
Dwight Wilkes.
Here.
Michael Clark.
Yes.
And Bruce Ketchum.
Here.
And Isla Jones is also here. First, I'd like to look at the agenda and approve the agenda. We'll have the proponents presenting comments, rationale, and recommendations to amend the course. Staff has been obtaining all of the comments and has them all in electronic format. Bruce has done a real good job of gathering everything together by slide, and he'll be projecting those up today. So the work group discussed all proposed comments. What we'll be doing today is going slide by slide, looking at all the comments from both the proponents and from staff. And then what I'd like to do is each comment, we just get a yay or nay, yay, nay, or modify it. And at the end, then one vote to consent vote to approve everything we've talked about. Okay, the work group makes recommendations to propose changes, as I talked about, and adjourn. Is there any amendments, changes, or modifications to the agenda? Yes, Bruce.
I thought about one other thing, too. I don't know if the group wants to do it, but you might want to take a look at all the ones. The ones that, where it says staff, it says okay. Those means in, they agree with the comment. You might be able to take, oh, here. Y'all going to have to share one, I think. Okay.
Yep.
And
thank you.
If you take a look at all the ones that say okay, they mean that agrees, staff agrees with the comment. So if you agree with staff and the comment, you could put that on a
consent.
A consent.
Yeah.
But that's it's up to you.
Yeah, you want to go over, if the slide is pink, that means there's no comment. If it says slide and then the number is black, then there's a comment, and the comments are in brown, the people's comments, and then the staff's comments are in blue. It's kind of a nice, and then the underneath the review, the kind of the greenish color, olive green color, is for any kind of comments that we might have today. Okay? Okay, with that, all those in favor of approving the agenda as written, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, like sign. Okay, we approve the agenda. Okay, Bruce, you want to?
I'll make sure this thing is going. It is. Okay. Now, let me explain what I've done in a little bit of detail here. Whenever on this, on your thing here, this combination, I put Larry's, Dwight's, Bimmy's, everyone's comments on there. The ones that were statutory, I did not put on here, but I'll explain as we go along. Statutory requirements or changes. If you take a look at the first page and the second page, you're going to see okay on the staff. That just means agree. Again, you see KIS, that's just an abbreviation for keep it simple. In other words, I feel that the staff's opinion that what we have in there is sufficient. And it might be a good note for the instructor, or it might already be in the instructor's notes, which we'll show. So the idea of looking at that, the KIS, the idea of if we keep on doing this, we're going to have a four-hour course instead of a two-hour course anyway, and the whole idea was to have a two-hour course. Let's see any other ones. You see some things that just says correct. Citations and things like this are pretty self-explanatory, but I think the nice thing about this, it'll make things go faster, and what we'll do is we'll have the slide up here, Michael will facilitate it and take input, and then we'll see exactly what's with the slide and also what we have on the instructor notes now, and then you can act upon them. With that, I'll turn it over to Michael.
Thanks, Bruce. Just to be clear, so we're all clear about the task, is we're going to be reviewing and looking at your suggestions and or Larry and Bill's, if they're not here, and then we're going to decide on what you agree with, what you don't agree with, and that will be where the term review, that's where that information will come in. So we're here to look at information make a decision on what we're going to change or not, and then that'll be passed on to the TAC to also review and or yes or no. Yes?
I have a question.
Yes.
Let me use this for the record. Are we looking at the instructional version of this or just the PowerPoint of what's going to be presented?
We're looking. May I ask?
Go ahead, answer.
Yeah.
Just since you put this together.
Bruce Ketchum, what we're looking for is the PowerPoint that was out there for sale,
mm-hmm.
not changed.
Is there an instructor guide to that?
Yes, there is. I'll show you. It's to the left-hand side. The
instructor's notes are included on the PowerPoint,
on
an instructor can use it. Right.
See,
okay.
to the left there?
Okay, perfect.
So everything is, that's the way it is now, though. So that's a good question,
yes.
Because what's going to happen is you need to analyze that, and you may come out with the fact that there's no changes needed. You may say there's a few things that need to be tweaked or whatever, you know.
Consistency is the key in
yes.
my mind in the presentation of it. So the instructor side of it is a critical part.
Yes, I agree.
Question. Bruce, I'm looking at
hey, Bill.
A PDF file that says the Florida Accessibility Code.
That's a 4-hour course.
Okay, I saw
yeah.
two.
No,
okay.
Stay with this one here because this is the one that's been approved.
No, yeah, but it said instructor's guide and it had a 2 in front of it. I thought it might have been an instructor's guide for the 2-hour course.
I don't think so. I think I think there's 2 or 3 parts to that particular one because there's 6 files on that 4-hour course.
Do we need to make another copy of this for Bill?
Probably a good idea.
Yeah. Your mind's pretty clean, why don't you?
Yeah. Let me see what.
I have been on the 6th floor boardroom since 8:15.
Whoops.
When you pull into your scooter into an elevator, you don't see behind you, so you don't see the floors.
Right.
So they press 6 and 8. When I get out on 6 by mistake, I said, "Where's the boardroom?" They said, "Right down there."
And there you are.
So ignore my messages.
Oh, you were calling me?
Well, when you're the only one that's not somewhere, it's not.
Welcome, Bill.
Thank you, Jeff.
Bill, Bruce went to make a copy of the information.
Here with us.
Okay.
Back in a second.
Okay, I also have with me the 2004 Chapter 11 and also the 2001 with the comments that Richard Schein marked in them, the updates. If we need to reference either of the code sections.
Okay.
Did you might want to, since Bill is here now, let him know about what we're going to do as far as process?
Yes.
Yeah, Bill, just to go briefly back, you're going to be given one of these sheets in a couple of minutes, but this is slide by slide where staff has combined all of the comments by all the commenters into one place so that under one item, for instance, here, slide 12, you have all the comments that everybody has made, so they're all in one place for that slide. And then under it are the staff's recommendations for those comments, and then the green area, the area in here, is for us to review today. So what we're going to do is go slide by slide, put the comments in, and at the end have one motion to adopt all of our review items.
And what hasn't been said is when you do come up with what you agree with, don't agree with, your recommendations, I was going to be typing into the same document so we can save it, and keep it together like that, and present it to the TAC.
So we're going to start with slide 2.
Well, I'm actually going to go through all of them, and whenever there's not something addressed, we'll just say there are no comments for slide 1. Then it's on the record.
Right.
Otherwise, it'll get all confused.
No, that's
okay.
And you also notice that some of these you're going to have multiple comments.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I take it there wasn't a copy machine close.
Yeah, she just had to get paper for it.
Requisition. This is a library.
I think we know it's not a good idea to be on Monday in the library.
Yeah, but she was a real gem.
She was, yes, she was
very helpful. She's doing our copying for us now. She's a supervisor. Mike, did you say that you'd be taking, are you going to take these slide by slide as far as a review and go ahead and vote on as you go along? Or are you going to take the consensus?
Well, thank you.
Thank you very much.
I'll take the, I can take the non-colored one. I just need something to.
Okay. You're not,
you keep the.
Okay.
I'm just colorblind, so it doesn't really matter.
Should have gave you the black and white one.
I'll take it.
You want the
okay.
black one?
No.
Okay.
Okay, are we ready?
Ready.
All right. Slide one, are there any comments for slide one? There were no comments from externally or staff. Anybody here have any comments?
This is the two-hour course, right?
This is the two-hour course, yes. Okay.
Look, Bill?
Yeah?
Pull up the one that says Dwight comments.
This is the two-hour course.
I think I have it here.
So I just want to be on slide one.
Right.
Slide one?
That's two.
Right.
That's two. We're going there right now. Right. Yeah.
Now, did you pull up the one that says Dwight comments? That's the one that has the course in it that I know is correct. I did send out one other one, but I wouldn't use that one. What's that one look like? You should track exactly what you see up in the.
Right, that's on number two.
No, I don't have
just
the,
move
the Dwight
it, move it with this, and then this is what you hit to
you
send.
Don't
get
entered. I see.
Okay.
Oh, this is right.
So move it and then hit the left button. Let's see. Now hit the left button. Okay.
Thanks,
and that thing, for whatever the reason, it is sensitive.
Is that a nickname?
Sometimes
yes,
it's crazy.
Yes, Remy is short for Baby Anne Marie. Anne Marie's my given name. And when I was born, they hadn't named me yet. So my older brother and sister were born in two, and they referred to me as Baby.
You can always go back and forth.
Then when they named me, they tried to say Baby Anne Marie.
Okay. Sorry about that.
It came out Baby. And it's stayed with me ever since.
If you always want to come back and have a question on anything.
And you know what's funny? Each laptop has its own quirks.
Yeah, it does.
And just a little different.
And then you can just go.
And always highlight.
Okay. Go ahead. So we're on one.
All right. Slide one. Any comments? For the record, no comments for slide one. Slide two, this is the scope of the training module. The comment that was made, it was only for new construction, and the staff comment to that was that it covers all the access code.
Okay, I'm sorry, but you need to come and show me this whole thing is
okay.
Now what I've done too is I've edited some of these comments. So if you want to know the everything exactly what it says, just ask me and I can read you the comment.
Only hit enter when you want to move down to the next.
Okay. Well, let's see.
Yeah.
And then
to move.
See, I'm trying to recall going through the slides
move like that. Hit the up and down.
Do you get into?
Yeah.
Okay.
Disproportional cost.
Yes. Yes, it's all in there.
Okay.
Remodeling, renovation?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, for slide two, what do we think?
Okay, the ADA speaks to four requirements that are required. One would be parking and initial access into a facility. The second would be access to the common area, goods and services of the facility. The third would be public restrooms, and the fourth would be other. Other would be designated, for instance, access to vending machines, health care, in hotels, laundry rooms, and so forth. So that's the four. Those are the four criteria for the ADA. Now, for a Florida 2-hour course, if you elect to have these, that's fine.
Yeah, I think this slide is just saying what it's addressing, and this is what it's addressing. I have no problem with it.
The key for new construction, I think the comment, and I didn't make it, is a good one, though, because there is, as Dwight had mentioned, certainly a difference in new construction versus the alterations. It's an important point to get across. I don't recall exactly, since I've just been on vacation, my mind is far away. We do talk about alterations, but I believe it's just with vertical accessibility, correct? Is it specific to vertical accessibility?
No, there's some other things in there as well, too. But, I mean, it can be added if you want to say new construction, alter.
Either that or we add it along the way, just to differentiate the two.
Well, would this be the best place to add it up front?
Up front.
Say new construction?
Well, give me a definition of new construction. I mean, a new construction will be a piece of clear land. You hire an architect, and you do some plans, okay? So, I mean, is that what new construction is?
It could be an addition. Mm-hmm. If you wanted to add on to a building, that's new construction.
Because this is the key right up front, this word new construction. Because all of these ADA lawsuits, if a building has been built 25 years ago,
right,
they come to you and they say, I want you to do everything that's in this book. And the difference between what they make you do and what you don't have to do is called legal fees and expert fees. And that's the crux of the problem that's confronting this state and it's going to confront all the other states. New construction, there is not a problem. The design professionals can take a clean piece of land and say, that's fine. The question now becomes, well, we've got an existing structure. Now what do we do? And in the building code, and I have to be careful here because I'm an ADA expert, not a building code. Is they talk about, well, how much money is being spent on alterations? Is it 50% of these? That has no bearing on the ADA. The ADA speaks about alteration. You do an alteration, I don't care what your state building code says. It has to be done pursuant to the new construction standards. So this slide here would be a critical one.
It does say that, too. If you're doing an alteration to an existing building, you are building to new construction standards. Because it'll take you from 11-4.1.6 alterations to 11-4.1.3 new construction. So even if you're over there,
right back in there.
So you're always building to new construction.
All right. Tell me what happens in the field where the people look at these.
Bemi, you had a comment.
I think all of our questions are actually answered, and it does. I'm looking back, slide 21 does talk about disproportionate cost, not specific to vertical accessibility across the board.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that if we put, you know, I think if we leave it out and not put new construction because it does tackle new construction alterations, then
so that'll take care
covered.
Of it if we don't say new construction up front.
I think so.
Okay. How does everybody feel about that?
I'm okay. Well,
I would support the removal or some type of not using the word new. That's a tough
right.
word.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, just leave it.
So the slide is okay as
the
it
slide
is.
Stays.
Yeah.
All right, slide 3, excellent. Comment made for slide 3, there have been changes since the 97 version. The staff comment to that remains the 1997 certified edition with DOJ, and yes, there have been changes and is housed in the latest edition of the code. So what do we say about that? We need to move the slide.
We look at the slide 3.
Oh, sorry.
That's all right.
How about that?
Excuse me.
I guess it's that word, no changes in the fourth line there.
Right.
I'm not really sure that the fact that we've had or had not any changes, I mean, that doesn't upset me as much as why are we referencing the 2003 IBC code as a base model code when it has no bearing on the Florida accessibility code. And I think that's my comment on the next screen anyhow. So.
Bruce.
Yeah, my reaction to this is this, even the change here. When we had it certified in 1997, it was certified with the Department of Justice. And so there is no changes to that certification and or code. The additions, what we did is we took the base code, whether either with the 97 SBC or the IBC 2003. We removed the Chapter 11, which is their accessibility, and we put our freestanding document in it. And that is a 1997 accessibility code, certified code. But it is in whatever the most current edition of the Florida Building Code. But it's also why we sell the accessibility code as a standalone document. Because it is a legislative, not administrative code.
Jeff?
Why don't we just take no changes out?
What does everybody think? Remove the term, words, no changes. Are we in agreement? Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
So for slide three, we're going to remove the words, no changes, which occur after 1997 Accessibility Edition. Slide four. The title is Harmonized Accessibility Code. One comment, move fair housing to its own line. Let's look at that first.
What is the intent of this slide?
It just basically show, I'm sorry, Mr. Chair.
Go ahead.
Mr. Chair. It's just to show how it came about, you know, what it has in it. The FBC certified code, again, that's through DOJ. And then the ASME A-17.1, the elevator standards, educational guidelines in Chapter 4. It shows what we have relative to accessibility within the code, the entire code, all editions. Excuse me, all volumes.
Well, again, if it's a statement of fact, there should be no reason to remove it.
I think
the idea is just move it to another one.
Yeah,
right. Make it as important
as a standalone, right?
Exactly.
As the other stuff.
And the staff has said that's fine.
Yeah, we agree with that.
How about this group? Do we agree? Make that a separate line.
Yeah.
Okay. For the comment, move fair housing to its own line. That's a yes. Second comment, standalone code, but housed in Florida Building Code and mentioned in all volumes. The staff comment to that is the standalone comment is a good instructor note. So what do you folks think about that?
I'm okay with it being an instructor note.
Anyone else?
It needs to be emphasized.
Yeah.
So besides it, you want anything else happen, Dwight, besides it being an instructor note? Do you want it to be put in bold?
One of the biggest problems we have is building officials wanting to apply the building code to the accessibility code.
Okay.
And I think everybody in this room understands that the accessibility code is only housed in the Florida Building Code. No different than when you buy the Florida Plumbing Code, you get a copy of it. It really needs to be emphasized that it has nothing to do with any other code other than itself. It is merely housed there. It's the place that when you buy one building code, you get a free copy of the accessibility code.
Free?
Whatever way you want to
nothing's
put it.
Nothing's free. In
you know, I know nothing's free. It's truly the biggest problem we have out there.
Well, is the change, putting this as an instructor note, is that good enough from your perspective?
I would like to see it on the slide, personally.
All right.
Or a separate slide, you know, clearly indicating that this is a standalone document, Florida statute, you know, and is merely housed in Chapter 11 of the Florida Building Code.
Okay. Bemi?
I think, in agreeing with Dwight, I think it's important to lay that groundwork up front. Throughout the presentation, we can reinforce that as instructor notes, but
exactly.
I think that is a baseline big issue out there.
All right, so how do we want to address this on the slide? Do we want to make this a separate bullet, for instance? And what exactly do you want to say?
I think there's enough there's so much confusion, it could warrant its own slot. I don't want to expand the program any, but I really feel it could warrant its own slot. And I don't think we're putting any misinformation out there.
Okay. All right, so if this were a standalone slide, would it occur right after this information?
Yes,
I feel it should. All right, so this would be the next slide in order. Now, what would the slide, what would the title of the slide be?
I don't even know if it needs a title. I could just say standalone code, Florida accessibility code is standalone code. Based on Florida statute.
We need a title of some sort. The standalone code?
Well, is it? It's actually a Florida statute.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we could start out with the Florida statute,
553.513.
So the title of the slide would be Florida Statute
553.
Okay.
501 through 553.513.
513. Okay. Is everybody in agreement?
Let me comment. Staff has a comment.
All right.
If you do this, as far as standalone, I think you got to explain that it may be standalone, but it's still integrated with throughout all the other volumes, because we do mention it throughout the volumes. The other volumes will say see accessibility code or be relevant in, let's say, the plumbing code. The plumbing code has the same information that as far as the figures and everything else, it does in the accessibility codes. We designed it that way.
How about three bullet points? Standalone code, housed in Florida building code, referenced throughout code.
Like that.
That's good.
With the title being Florida Statute 553, da, da, da.
Yeah. Okay. I would add one more bullet point.
One more?
One, well,
you dare to ask for more?
Housed in the Florida building code, housed in the Florida plumbing code.
Yeah, well, same semantics. I was thinking Florida building code mean all the codes, yeah.
I understand. And it's even in the National Electric Code.
Yeah.
But the point being, it is, I'm just trying to really drive home this point, that it is not integrated in a sense that you use Chapter 10 to interpret Chapter 11. It's that we can do as instructor notes, but just if you can get another bullet point.
Okay, so let's go back to Jeff, your 3 points again. Standalone code.
Housed in the Florida Building Code, referenced throughout the building code books.
Volumes.
And Dwight had suggested adding to housed in the Florida Building Code, say housed in the Florida Building Code and Florida Plumbing Code. I have no problem with that.
Okay.
Second bullet point.
Second bullet point, add and plumbing code.
So I was against Dan Shaw putting it in there, but that's...
So what were they again now, the three?
Standalone code, housed in Florida building code and plumbing code, referenced throughout building, what was that?
Building code volumes.
Building code volumes.
Does that get us what we're looking for, and that is the emphasis of you can't use things interchangeably among the codes?
Well, that has to, I think, be explained in the teaching. Yeah, I think in the teaching that's...
So
I think
this is just part of the instructor?
Right. I think this is just telling them it's there because it's there.
No, agreed. And I didn't know if maybe an instructor note on this slide would add that comment.
Yeah, somewhere. I think you need that instructor note. I don't know if it's here or somewhere else.
Okay.
I agree with you.
Okay, so this will act as slide 5.
Yeah, well, 4A, if you don't want to remember everything right now.
Okay, and your instructor note, I'm sorry, you said what?
4B.
Emmy, what do you think the instructor note should say?
I'm gonna
default to Dwight on this too, because we can come up, or everybody to come up with the proper language. Again, we got to go back to the keep it simple thought process, but I think it's pretty critical to have terminology or interpretations. I'm not sure what the right language is that we want to target
Not interpretations.
Not, yeah, I know. We've got to be very careful. Semantics
either,
has to be very
It would either be explanation
careful.
Or description. In other words, you're stating that this is this and this is not this, right?
Well, yeah, by being standalone, all the basis
terminology
of all...
cannot
well,
be.
The basis of all decisions within this section shall be from within itself. You can't go, I think that, Dwight, that's what you were trying to say, is you can't go to the other parts. We know the biggest problem is the occupancy of the five or less. That's a big problem. But we've run into other things, too.
Sure, sure. But I think that that's something that maybe we say it as simple as that.
Yeah.
Okay, for the record, what do we want to say?
I haven't formulated it quite yet.
Why is there an emphasis as far as the instructor note that we want to pass along to the
staff? Yeah, all decisions.
Okay.
For this chapter shall be made from within this section.
I don't know if I want to lock it down that tight.
Well, maybe a little elaborate a little more, you know, as a standalone code.
You know, the previous slide we listed all the other documents that they
no,
can
no,
go
this
to.
Is just an instructor note, though.
I understand.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
But we listed all the other documents that a building official can utilize to interpret and enforce this code.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we don't want to tell them they can't go there and use those. Or you go there and use those, but you don't go to the building code and use it. You see the complexity of it, I know you're aware of.
Well, an example is, you know, we don't want to get too drawn out on this, but an example is, you know, is a bathroom open to the public or not? That's not covered in the accessibility code, but it's covered in the plumbing code. So you would go to the plumbing code to get that information. I don't know how you say, use this, except when there's nothing in it, then go to somewhere else.
Well, you can say as use this as the primary reference for decisions.
Yeah, I guess, Dwight, yeah, I agree with them. We could say something to the effect, if the answer is in here, then use this. If the answer is not in here, then you might go elsewhere. It's you, Bruce.
Yeah, one thing that you need to either cover or at least be careful of saying use only inside this, you know, standalone document, it's not necessarily so, because if you go to Chapter 4 of the Building Code, Building Volume, now you're getting into schools, you're getting into
right.
ACA hospitals, things like this that have over and above. So you're not going to find it all in that document. You're going to find the schools and the children's standards within the SRAF, and you're going to have the architectural standards within the hospitals. You're going to find lots of different standards. And the same thing, for that matter, goes with even our program, Manufactured Buildings. So you're going to find some things a little bit different.
How about if we broaden it, but kind of narrow it? As a standalone document, accessibility interpretations cannot be extrapolated and applied from this chapter. The word interpretation is not settling with me, but basically we want to say you can't take anything from here and extrapolate it and apply it to here. You can't just because it's here, apply it to here, simply. So I think we need to focus in on that's the key. You can't take this and apply it here. You can't take this and apply it here.
Can we move past this one and come back? This
yeah, we might
Thank
even
you.
Do it when
Thank
we
you,
get
Bill.
To the five or less, you know, yeah. where we need to
Example.
Okay.
To apply
All right,
it.
To summarize for the record, on slide 4, everyone agreed to move fair housing to its own line. The second comment, the standalone code, we have made a new slide, which will be slide 4A. All right, slide 5. The title is equivalent facilitation. And one comment, the first comment made was the correct section to 11-2.2 and not 11-2. And the staff commented correct citation on slide to read 11-2.2.
I agree, it's 2.2.
Anybody else? Comment? All right, for the record, it will read dash 11-2.2. The second comment made, repeat the full text. And the staff comment was, keep it simple, do not repeat the entire text, no change. So what does the group think?
Well, I'd like to give you a comment on this, because there are going to be certain key comments that I'll give you that are learned from just thousands of these lawsuits, which is what we want to try and, at least this member wants to try and stop. One of the issues, and I'm going to try and present this if I can get an appointment with the people who license the building officials. Building officials have latitude. They're the building officials. Okay? They do not have any latitude for the federal requirements. Now, somehow I or someone else that's a better talker than me needs to convey this to the building officials. For instance, if an I'll use an example because I don't have a better one. If an electrical outlet needs to be here, and the building official says it can be here, for hundreds of years, that's fine. Now, you turn around and you move something that's an ADAG element, they don't have that freedom. Or if they have it, it's severely limited. So I'd like to suggest some type of polite words here that doesn't make the building official feel that they can't do their job anymore. Of course they can do their job. But once they start departing from things where they start thinking in their best interest or the best interest, the instructor has to start to convey some feelings to the officials that please use a modicum of caution when you do depart. So if these words in this panel's opinion are fine, then leave them. But that's an absolute critical one. Quick example, 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago, they had a big lawsuit up in Fort Pierce with a clocked restaurant. The building official allowed a steeper curb ramp. The federal judge shut the building down, the clocked restaurant down. He shut it down. But my God, that's huge. The trial ended up that the building official and so forth, it's going to be left as it is, unless, of course, they appeal it. But look at the cost to support the building official, where perhaps the building official, if he had been more cognizant of some of these things, might have said to the contractor, you need to do this a little bit more.
Jeff?
Yeah, I think the issue is here, do we want to repeat the entire book in the presentation or not? One idea, you know, the book's $15, I think. One idea is maybe suggest to the instructors just buy books for all the people in the class and just hand them out at the beginning of the class and they can follow through. And you don't have to repeat all these sections.
Bruce?
One thing what Bill's saying is a really pretty good idea. If you could summarize it into a note, you know, instructor note, to let them know, first of all, in Chapter 1, of the Florida Building Code, Building Volume 105, Powers and Duties of the Building Official to enforce any and all parts of this code. That's one. The second part that gives him the enforcement duties too is Florida Statute 553.513, which they have to enforce this part being the accessibility standards, you know, by law. So those two things, if just a note, not on a slide, but a note, it gives them, says, well, this is what you have to do by law. Here's two citations. So that might answer the mail for you, Bill. I don't know.
Well, again, from an instructor's point of view, some type of note to be conveyed, particularly to the building officials. Those are the people I've decided after 15 years that need to be reached, not design professionals. These folks know what to do. I mean, I sit here in Broward County, Fort Lauderdale, and I help review every single project being built here. 99.9999% of all of their drawings and plans are wonderful. The problem comes about when it gets to the field, then there are change drawings, and then all of a sudden elements and field conditions start to change, and then at the end result, when it comes to the TCO and the CO, things are different. And that's when the lawyers start showing up in front of us.
Would Bruce's suggestion take care of your concern, Bill?
Well, as
an instructor note to have that
absolutely,
explanation.
Absolutely.
Okay, Bruce, why don't you repeat that for the record? This is an instructor note for the comment of repeating the full text.
Okay.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
actually in the code book.
And this is for slide 5.
Right. It's two places in the code book. This is the older one, right? You got the newer one?
Yes.
So in the statute, which is in the Florida Building Code Chapter 11, under Florida Statute 55, it's Part D, by the way. It is 553.513, Florida statute, and that has to do with enforcement duties of the of this part. When they're talking about this part, they're talking about the accessibility standards, because that is part of, remember, the 553.501 through 513. That's the one part.
Okay, let's summarize, because we're gonna pass this to the TAC as. How can we summarize that? What are the words we
say? Enforcement, and how about this? Enforcement powers by these two citations.
Okay.
And that'll give the instructor, you know, where he can talk to him. First one bullet or something like this. Say Florida Statute 553.513, enforcement powers. And then the other one I would say is Florida Building Commission, Florida Building Code 2004, Chapter 1, Section 105, powers and duties of the building official having jurisdiction.
Okay, which statute again?
The statute is 553.513.
Did you get that second part?
Okay, just a second. Okay. Section 553.513,
right, enforcement
of powers?
That's enforcement of this part being the accessibility.
Okay, this is what I have. Convey 553.134 statutes enforcement powers by two citations. 553.13 enforcement powers, section 553.513 enforcement of this part. I'm missing something, I think.
We need the chapter 1 of the Florida Building Code, okay. Building Volume. And the subsection is 105.
Chapter 1 of FBC,
right.
Building Volume.
Right, section 105, subsection 105.
Subsection 105.
Right. And that's powers and duties of the building official having jurisdiction.
Would you want to add that one sentence, Bruce, from 553.513, where it says this act expressly preempts the establishment of handicap accessibility standards to the state and supersedes any county or municipal ordinance on the subject?
I have no problem with that. In fact, I think it's a great idea.
I'd like to see that too.
And if that was reinforced by the instructor,
yes,
then you've done your job.
Yes.
You know what you can just do? I'll just put add.
What is it?
Add statute 553.513, all text.
Okay.
Hold on just a second.
That's a good idea.
Please, Bill, I'd like to tell about 10 cities down here. This
I've got enforcement powers by two citations, Chapter 1 of the Florida Building Code, Building Volume, Section 105,
right.
And enforcement powers 553.513, enforcement of this part.
Right, and then put all, in parentheses, put all texts, include all texts.
All texts of 553.
Right, 553. Okay. And then
when
you get that, go back to the words Chapter 1, 105, powers due to the building officials having jurisdiction. Did you get that?
Chapter 1,
105.
I just got enforcement.
Okay, 105.
Yeah, enforcement powers.
Right. You're right. But I would still put Chapter 1, the Florida Building Code, right? And then 105,
right.
Which should say powers and duties of the building officials having jurisdiction. And that is very helpful. I always say it in instruction, anyway.
Ben, you have a comment?
Yeah, and it's fine. I don't have any problem with what we're doing. I just, for the record, want to throw out that we're telling building officials that they have the power to enforce this in that instructor note. One of the difficulties we have are the inconsistencies of how it's being enforced, which I know is the point of the course.
Yeah.
Right.
But anytime we go to the state and say, or have a disagreement with the building official and say, look, do you mind, understand that's your interpretation? Do you mind if we go to the next level and get, you know, get some referencing from the state? The state always comes back and says it's your decision anyway.
That's right.
So it gives them a lot of power for people who don't know the code. Is the flip side of that.
Yeah.
And it's because our hands are tied and we can't come in.
Agreed. I understand. Just for the record, I want to say, you know, yes, the intent of it is great, but the flip side of that is giving people that don't know what they're talking about a lot of power over design.
That's a building official, period.
No, well, building
whether he knows or doesn't know, he's got power over the building. Code interpretations of all codes.
And that's not Florida. That's
it's everywhere. It's the nature of the codes.
Exactly.
Anyway, it's just kind of a comment.
Go ahead.
There's one other thing, after you said that, it triggered this, and we're on the section where it'd be appropriate to do it, is probably the only person, in my eyes anyway, that can do any, to see if it's equivalent facilitation, is the building official. So, and this is the section we're under, so you might want to put a third book, might, one, to, how would you say that? A lot of building officials don't feel comfortable, throwing this out, don't feel comfortable using equal facilitation. A lot of them say, yeah, it says I can do it. I'm the building official, I can do it. If they feel comfortable, they can say, I think that's equal to this, if they want to do it. But the downside of that is that if somebody comes back, like Bill was saying, with a lawsuit, and they disagree with the law, with that building official, then we have a decertified part of the code. So it's a real tricky thing. There's some building officials that do use 2.2 or 11-2.2, equal facilitation. Many of them do not, for that reason.
And I think that the course, really, you know, who are we targeting with the course? Building officials are going to be looking at it. Design professionals are going to be looking at it. It's 2.2 is something that design professionals tend to invoke or initiate because of given circumstances. Say, well, let's do this. This would be considered equivalent facilitation, or this new technology came out. This is considered equivalent facilitation. And the people getting sued are the design professionals. So I want to make sure the design professionals, the building officials, understand that the ultimate responsibility is under that seal, the architectural seal.
Why?
I think the problem is, what is equivalent facilitation? Seriously. I've had design professionals, in fact, the Accessibility Council listened to an architect that was applying for a waiver under equivalent facilitation on new construction, did not want to provide accessibility to the new second floor because he says, look, the restaurant patrons can sit on the first floor and not go up on the balcony. And they, you know, they totally ran him out of there. So I'm not really sure if anybody truly understands what equivalency is.
We'll disagree with that.
And, you know, here we are trying to provide some guidelines here. I think Commissioner Narconis's example on the technical light switches, lighting receptacles, outlets, fire pool stations. You know, I can have one that doesn't meet it, and I'll put an extra one in that does meet it. That's equivalency. Not
sure.
You can sit out here on the balcony, and you don't really need to sit out on the balcony. That has nothing to do with it, in my opinion. So we're back to the same thing, Chapter 10 again.
Well, we're not going to resolve this, but I think as long as the instructor highlights that sentence that we spoke about, this, that the Act does not allow the county and municipal law, that, I think all you're going to do is say it. There's still going to be disagreements. We're not today going to come up with this equivalent facilitation. I mean, I'm really good at this stuff, and I can't give you a definite answer because every instance may be different.
Mm-hmm.
So to the point that we have conveyed to the class, particularly the instructors, that this is there, then that battle is going to go on.
Any other comments about the instructor note that we came up with? Slide 5.
Would it be a good point to maybe indicate that if a building official is unfamiliar with equivalent facilitation, to allow that to proceed to the Accessibility Council?
Well, could they do that? Because it's a limitation.
Man, you'd be teaching people out there, and they'd be sending everything to them. We'd be like we were 5 years ago, 6 years ago, 36, 55 waivers, you know.
Well, again, the waiver council can only hear Florida unless it was
Florida specific.
But they could bring
equivalency
that up.
Of a Florida specific item.
Yeah.
Obviously,
I hadn't thought of that. Okay. Because so many won't go there. They don't know what it is.
All right, slide six. The title is Accessible Route 11-4.3. First comment, reflect 11-4.1.2 or 11-4.3.2. Staff comment, keep it simple. What do you folks think?
Again, let me stick my two cents in here, because I'm not going to have a whole bunch of these. This is where every single lawsuit that's going to ever happen on these things is it always has an accessible route element, because you just don't have it. The clearest example, we all know about all these new Walgreens and these CVSs. Okay, you will see there usually that there's an accessible route cut from the sidewalk. In Broward County and Fort Lauderdale, it's mandatory. But there are some places maybe you can't do it. For instance, if we go to a new shopping center, you drive your car. Well, where is the accessible route from the sidewalk, if in fact there is a sidewalk? This is a huge one. And the instructors need to be able to give some guidance on this. How far do you go? One of the technical answers is that within the boundary of the site, and that's really critical. For instance, in the example I just provided where you have a Walgreens, well, if your property stops there, the Walgreens, and then there's a hedge, and then there's a public sidewalk, you can't touch the hedge. So if you strike from as close to the public sidewalk as you can, although you can't get to it, technically it's in compliance with the ADA. I mean, it seems silly, but this, some wiser minds here than mine, we need to get some type of instructor comments for accessible route, because that's the key. Every single one of these plaintiff's attorneys always stick that in there, because you just don't have it. The only real defense is if you go out there and say there's no sidewalk, but that doesn't cut it.
Any other comments regarding this comment?
I would have to agree with Commissioner. This is probably one of the biggest site development issues that we face in our jurisdiction. We require a sidewalk from the building to nowhere if there is no public sidewalk in yet, because the buildings are coming in prior to the street widening and the public sidewalks. And the owner says, I got to build a sidewalk to nowhere. Well, yeah, it's nowhere this month. But there'll be a public sidewalk coming down there pretty soon, and the county will tie in with your sidewalk, your accessible route.
Well, yeah, Bruce or Isla or Jeff, help me out. What is the intent of this course? I mean, I'm telling you the way it is in the real world. That if you just say this, do we need to tell them all these things that I know? Is this helpful, or should... It's just not cool. It's just telling you what's going on, but no one else needs to hear this. Like, for instance, within the boundary of the site, that's where, if I was an instructor, I would spend my time. Then move on.
Exactly. Or to public streets or public sidewalks.
Bruce?
Here's what I do on the phones or instructing or anything else. I start with the base, what you were talking about, Bill, which is actually, what is the definition? So that's 11-2. So there's a good definition of accessible route in there. And then I go to the scoping. Then I go to the specifics, the criteria. So I do it all. I go to the sites under scoping, and then I go to the specifics. But I do always start with definitions. And I see here that the one comment about 11-4.1.2 is not right. It really is 11-4.1.2, and then it should be parentheses 1 and 2 for site. But what it's missing is the key thing, which is 11-2 under definitions. So maybe if that's confusion, maybe since we're doing, as an instructors, we're instructing people how to do things, take them to a definition first. Definitions are always the most important thing.
All right, so how do we make that work within this comment on this slide. With what everything is being said now, what do we need to do to this slide to make this work? Yes.
Comment for staff. Is it this presentation or the 4-hour that has the photographs of the accessible routes?
I think we've got a few in here. We've cut down some in this one here, but there are some in here, yeah.
Because a picture's worth 1,000 words.
It's true. Let me just put on there photo, consider photo.
Okay.
And, you know, I like the photos that we've seen, non-compliant and compliant, you know. And I'll be glad to email you some photos.
All right, do we want to put in parentheses in the instructor notes, consider or possible photos for the TAC?
A note that would have something to the effect that look at your class and say, pretend that you're arriving by wheelchair, that you're coming by a bus, and you're not a wheelchair bus, or you're across the street at the other mall in your wheelchair and you're going to cross the street and come there. Now, do I have to go up the driveway? In other words, as long as we convey to them that there needs to be at least consideration for some type of an accessible route that doesn't involve a vehicular way, then we have conveyed to them. If they don't do it, then so be it. But a lot of people think that driveway is the accessible route, and it's just not going to cut it.
I've had very good architects tell me that.
Yep.
Well, the technical assistance manual says you can use the driveway if there's no other way. All the pedestrians on the site come through the driveway. That can be your accessible route. So
brand
there is
new construction?
Some, yes, in brand new construction. It's in the technical assistance manual. And the
Once
new
again,
guidelines
the confusion.
Don't...
Hmm? This is the example of the confusion.
Yeah, the new guidelines don't address it either. The new because guidelines clarify it, but of course we can't even talk about the guidelines.
I understand, but I contend that within this document as it exists now says you can't.
No, it says you have to provide it. It says you have to provide an accessible route from the bus stop, sidewalk.
Yeah, all areas.
All areas to the buildings and then from building to building.
Through
However, the technical assistance guideline says that if the site is accessible only by vehicle with no sidewalks, then you don't have to provide it. So,
well, yeah. I understand that. But my point being, we have a sidewalk out front on a public street, public sidewalk.
Mm-hmm.
There are design professionals that are saying, I can use that driveway to that building, the vehicular access point, to that wall.
That's what the technical assistance manual says?
But only if it is clearly defined as and in addition to the usable vehicle area.
No, it doesn't say that.
Well, no, wait. And this is something that I would love to sit down over a cup of coffee with you, because I contend in this document itself, as it exists, the Florida Accessibility Code, tells me that you cannot use that driveway.
No.
Okay, Bruce.
Okay,
we can go back and forth on that.
Well, let me just read what it says in the definition. I think it'll address what you're saying and also Bill's too. It says accessible route, a continuous unobstructed path connecting all accessible elements and spaces of a building or facility. Interior accessible routes may include corridors, floors, ramps, elevators, lifts, and clear floor spaces at fixtures. Exterior accessible routes may include parking, access aisles, curb ramps, crosswalks, and vehicular ways, walks, ramps, and lifts. To me, that pretty much, you know, says it all. It talks about the site and talks about the elements within the site.
It also says may include.
Yeah.
That's true, but that's federal language, I understand.
And, yeah.
And I understand what you're saying, but to me, whenever I look at that and somebody says, what about may, I says, well, you know, yes, it's passive language. That's true. But I always say it's a minimum code, just like any other minimum code.
Sure.
You look at that and say, well, if I go beyond that, am I looking for a lawsuit? Because somebody else disagrees with that. So I say, yeah, it does say that, but you're the designer.
I like what you do as a permitting official. You got to tell these design professionals you're going to do it this way. Make them come back. We have architects come in all the time. Now, the technical assistance manual is advisory in nature. So if Jeff came into it, we wouldn't listen to it. We would pay attention to it.
Yeah.
But I would like to make the design professionals come back to you, because we have architects come in all the time, and they'll bring in the law, and once and the permitting officials, they don't. And as soon as Jeff Gross or someone comes in and they show them, well, they knew it beforehand. So if they make us do it, fine. But there are some things that really, as the permitting officials, that they're doing along the lines that you're suggesting. You will create an accessible route that doesn't involve a vehicular way, or you will put in a sidewalk to nowhere. That's a good
I contend it's in this document. I think I can put it together to show my thinking later.
How do we need to address slide six? So we're still stuck on the first comment, which is reflect 11-4.1.2 or 11-4.3.2. What do we want to do with that first? Do we want to do anything with it? The staff comment was keep it simple.
I'm okay with it as it is.
All right. How does everybody else feel?
I just have a question. One of the comments that we have is consider photo non-compliant compliant. Do you still want to add that?
Yeah, I have that in there. Thanks. What happens, I went through here, and we do not have one photo of an accessible route in this one. So, therefore, I think it's a good idea.
So let's put add photo.
Add photos. Probably a good two photos. Idea. Not compliant and non-compliant.
All right. And the portion that says convey consideration of accessible route that does not require vehicle needs to be deleted. We're not going to add that.
I don't have that one. The only thing I had said is add the definition.
I think that's what Mr. Norquenus said.
No, that was just one of the comments that was made in the discussion.
So we can, I can delete that.
Yeah, don't. Okay, go back to what are we going to do with 11.4? What we've heard of, keep it, or keep it as it is on the slide.
Bruce had indicated that it was probably helpful to reference the sections that are specific to this. 4.1.2 being one of them, 3.5 being the definitions is one of them.
Right, and the other one is 11-4.1.2 and (1), (2). Talk about
and
that.
And maybe we just reference those sections.
Okay.
So they'll have in writing somewhere, okay, these are the sections of the code I need to go to get
what
that
about
information.
So on the slide.
You can put them right there in their section. And you can,
So just put comma, next, right by 11.
At least they're going to know where to go.
Right, and
go
I would start with the beginning of the book, which is 11-2. That's the definition. That's the beginning. And then I would say, consequently, go to 11-4.1.2, (1), (2), and then I would go to 11-4.3. And I wouldn't say .2. I would go to .3 because that's accessible route, and let them go through it and, see
fine
what else. Exactly, exactly.
Okay, so the first is 11-2. 11-2 is right after 11-4.3.
No, put that first.
Oh, okay.
11-2 is first.
11-2 is first.
And then the next one, if you want to use that correct one, which would be 11-4.1.2, (1), (2).
Do you want definitions 3.5 in there?
I've got 4.2 for definitions.
All right, and then comma, 11-4.3.
And (3), was there (3) on
there? No.
Okay.
Just 11-4.3.
Exactly.
Okay, so right. For the record, currently where it says 11-4.3, we're going to replace it or put in front of it 11-2, comma, 11-4.1.2, (1), (2). Then comma, 11-4.3. Is that correct? Okay.
So it's the and. So they're all the additive.
Okay, is it add or replace?
It's add.
Okay, all right, I got
it then. So 3.5 is not in. Bruce, I'm sorry.
11-4.3 is correct for accessible route.
Okay, I thought you were looking at the definition section.
Oh, no, that's 11-2.
No, 11-2 is equivalent facilitation.
I'm talking about just 11 now. Maybe you're right. For definitions, I've got 11-3, not
right.
2.
So 3.5 actually is where the definitions start. But
no,
yes.
Definitions are under...
Yeah, 3, section 3.
Yeah, section 3.
Okay guys.
So 11-3.
3 instead of 11-2.
Okay.
Yeah, my bad.
All right.
Well, wait a minute.
Everything else stays the same.
Wait a minute. Hang on. I see what you're talking about. So really, you're correct. 11-3 and then dot 5, because that's definitions.
Okay, 11-3,
so,
dot 5.
Yeah.
Five.
Thank you,
okay.
Benny.
No problem.
Got a little ahead of myself.
I've got 11-3.5, 11-4.1, .2, paren 1, paren 2, 11-4.3.
Right.
Okay. The next comment for slide 6 was copy the full text. Staff said don't change it.
Agree.
Everybody else? Dwight? Okay, no change. The next comment on slide 6, state if driveways can or cannot be used as accessible route. Staff said situational, good discussion item, and instructor note.
I guess even here we can't agree on it, so I wouldn't put it in. You know, again, it could be a discussion item, but I don't think we can make a determination on that.
All right, how do we want to handle it?
No change.
Okay. No change.
I think we're doing a disservice. We're sitting here trying to be able to give some people some information. How can you not say whether a driveway can or cannot be used?
It's a federal issue.
Yeah, not only that, you've got building officials out there that, for instance, and don't mention anybody, but there are building officials that on driveways that don't require permits. There's other ones that require permits. So if there's no permit, there's not an issue. If there's a permit, there's an issue. So you've got that whole thing out there too. So, you know, it really is a situational thing.
It's still an issue, one way or the other.
It's an issue.
There's a permit or not. The design professional has to come back and be accountable for it.
And we're educating them, too.
Yes. It's not just...
But how are you going to... I mean, isn't that a discussional thing? I mean, you get bring something like this in, you can discuss it.
We can make it factual and say, the federal code does not require this in this circumstance when there is no sidewalk for
the general public.
However, it is certainly prudent to do that from a liability standpoint to keep everybody out of the driveway.
2 weeks ago, we had a Hummer just roll over a guy in a wheelchair downtown. Hummer's big and high. Person wheeled off the thing that was right on red, boom, right over the guy. So if you're going in a wheelchair up a vehicular way and you've got these big SUVs and these Hummers and so forth, you're not going to see them. You would be nuts as a design professional to turn around and give your guidance that, sure, you can use the driveway. Mm-hmm. Now, the problem that the design professionals have is that their client says to them, how much is it going to cost me for another path? $18,000? No. Can I use it? Okay. No. So I use the word should a lot. You should do this. You should have another accessible route that doesn't involve a vehicular way.
And adding that in is excellent, and I think we should do it. But we also, at the same time, have to say it's not required.
You do, because you cannot. Otherwise,
it's very prudent to do it. Giving, it makes perfect sense to do it, but yeah. It is not required. That's the fact of it is.
You don't want to be
required.
Changing, the federal law or the Florida law by putting something in there, because it is a minimum. You could put in parentheses.
Recommended.
I disagree with. There's no such thing as it's not required. There's no federal judge in the country that would suggest that going up a vehicular way in your wheelchair is a safe under the definition of accessible move. That's nuts.
And I still contend it's in this document as it exists.
Okay, so how do we want to handle this?
Will we be able to comment again in the December meeting?
Oh, yeah. I'm speaking for Jeff.
Yeah.
I'm assuming so.
Now, we only have 2 hours in December. We're trapped because the Accessibility Waiver Council is in the morning and the full commission sessions at 3:30. So we only have 2 hours of meeting. So I don't know how much comment we're going to have at that December meeting.
It would be at the TAC meeting.
I try to get the TAC longer, and we just can't do it. And we didn't do the TAC Monday because everybody's being siphoned off for the Educational Committee meeting. So... we're stuck. We're limited.
I would just suggest if we do have any I would consider legal issues that you may want to submit them to Bruce, and Bruce can get them to our attorney so that before
that's a good idea.
The meeting so that there can be some ideas presented there from a legal aspect.
Well, again, it's not, Jim Richmond's not going to give any rulings on this thing. What I think we need to do is to give guidance. This is what we are. We're instructed. Let's give some guidance. We're not giving a determination that they can or they can't. I'm suggesting that we say to them, as you're sitting there, as you're the design profession, as you're the building official, what the heck do I do? Well, the pros are saying we recommend that you don't have it as part of the vehicular route.
And I think that is the issue, Bill, that from Jim Richmond's point, not so much this code, but whether in this course that is being presented by the state as to whether we can actually do that or not.
That's right. He has told us very specifically that we can say whatever's on that page, but if we step outside of that, then we're doing interpretations, and we cannot interpret. And he's not even agreeing with that necessarily, that we shouldn't be, but that's the way the law is right now. It may be changed, but right now, it is whatever's on here is what we do. We don't try to go past it.
Then we're wasting our time or my time to be sitting here, but if we're just going to rope what's here, we're instructors giving a course. If you want to have this that says what's here, but you're going to have some verbiage, and I was hoping that the intent of this is that the verbiage with notes or accessories would give some guidance on what's happening in the real world. If you do that, you're going to be in federal court at a particular time. Tom Ritchie's doing this all over Orlando now. I had four cases last week, all on accessible routes, even by that safari place that we stayed, the mall right next door to it. He wants an accessible route from the street. How do you do that? There's no sidewalk there. Mm-hmm. But the lawsuit's not getting dismissed, and it's costing this guy that owns it 30, 40 grand in fees. Anyway, I'm not going to disagree with Eilish. I mean, you guys know what's going on, but if you could have some comments for the instructors, fine.
And I think that's just the question that we need to get from Jim, is whether there is, in this course, guidance. That's it, as to whether it can be included in this course. That's pretty simple, and he needs to answer that.
Yeah. Okay, so right now we're going to leave it as is and do a side note and bring this issue up to Jim.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do we call it something besides guidance? How about consensus?
Well, I can't even get consensus in this room. How are you going to get consensus?
Well, for some things we can.
Consensus, for instance, the issue that Bill is raising from the professionals. As far as vehicular.
The legal side is going to say no, 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 and did you hear me? I said no. You can't do it. I mean, we've heard that over and over and over and over again. We've got to be able to get the information out and give guidance, even if it's disguised as and called something else. People don't know what to do. People don't know what to do in certain circumstances, and there's nowhere to go. This is an opportunity to do that. So maybe we don't call it guidance, maybe we call it something else, but there's got to be a way for somebody to have some idea. How do I apply this?
We can't have instructor comments?
Sure.
Oh, yes.
Well, what about these are the instructor comments to whatever Jim says has to be on these.
Just develop that and bring it back to the meeting with Jim's comments? I mean, that's okay.
I bring a lot of things to Jim, and
the answer is no.
Right. Yeah. Bill, you're saying you wanted us to do instructor comments.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, slide 7, photo signage.
Wait, before we, just not to belabor, but before we leave that, we talked about adding 2 photos and changing, this whole thing we're talking about. You know, we had a provider that made this for us, University of Florida.
Right.
And then Bruce and Mary Catherine redid this.
Mary Catherine and I put that one together. Yeah.
Did this into the 2-hour course. Now we're coming up with a whole bunch of changes, and we're talking about maybe adding some photos and stuff. Who's going to do that? Have we discussed that or thought about that?
At a separate, I think we've discussed it in the office, and there's basically 3 options. And one of it is, and actually what happened at the original, the accessibility tag, really, and the University of Florida were not able to come to consensus. Mm-hmm. And the accessibility tag actually developed the 4-hour course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember that.
And then, of course, Bruce and Mary Catherine turned it into a 2-hour course. we can go several different directions. We can have the TAC develop it again. We can contract it out, which means it'll have to go through a bid process, and then that will determine on how much the TAC wants to be involved. And, or I guess the third one is to allow someone to develop it and then submit it to you all and with your comments and submit it to you all and then go through the accreditation process. We did discuss that if we do decide to get a contractor, then as part of the RFP or the ITN, you're going to have to decide how quickly you want this done and be able to set a timetable and work with the contractor, assuming that you all want to be participants during the development process. So those are really your decisions. And we simply were not able, or when the University of Florida was involved, what they basically did was came to the meeting and there was discussion and it was, get this stuff to me in 2 weeks, and everybody said at the meeting, yes, we would, and no one ever did. And this just went on for week after week, meeting after meeting. And so finally the contract ran out and it really wasn't a course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember. Yeah. I remember the whole thing. Because I'm just wondering, you know, as we go through here and say we want more photos and all that, how much are we complicating? You know, obviously the text stuff is easy because you just go through and change it. But even that has to come back and be reviewed and make sure it was changed.
And Bert and Mary Catherine, actually, there were, again, a lot of people said that they would send photos. Mm-hmm. Really never got the photos. So Mary Catherine and Bert are the ones that actually went out and did the photos.
Okay.
So, depends on how much participation that you all want to be involved in the actual development of the course.
Maybe it's better just to go ahead and finish today and see how much we have. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's okay. That would be good. Bill?
Would it be permissible? Jeff Gross, Bill Markunis, Larry Schneider, we've done 30, 40, 50,000 pictures.
Wonderful.
I mean, can each of us individually submit them if we wanted to?
If somebody affiliated with this wants to submit photos, I don't
I mean, an accessible route, I just go to Enterprise, rent a car, and take some that are there. I mean, we've done it. We don't have to reinvent the wheel. He's got them, I got them, Benny's got them.
But
the pictures are here.
Clearance.
Release, maybe.
Well, if you have pictures that you know are current with work,
I would
work,
do it without
send
any kind
them to Bruce.
That's great.
I would make sure, Jeff.
Well, I would commit to sending. Is it permissible to send some to you?
Yeah, that's fine.
Send them to Bruce.
Yeah. Put
them on the agenda for the
December
meeting.
Someone making the notes then? Whatever photos we want at the end of this day, you'd let me know?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, we'll have here. We just put. We need to.
And you'll have a report. You know, it'll be sent to you, Bill. But it'll be on.
I would take the time. I would do it on a weekend and nights because I'm going to be blabbing so much. I need to step forward and do some of these.
All right, slide 7, photo signage. That's the title. First comment: why is this photo here? And that would be that photo. And staff comment: relocate this slide to where in the presentation?
Delete the slide.
It's mine. Yeah,
delete
the slide. Signage is not addressed in the 2 hours.
All right, delete. Second comment, show requirements for signage. Staff comment, show requirements, agree.
That's if you delete it, then you don't need to do it.
Delete it.
Yeah.
Okay. Third.
I would like to disagree with that.
All right. Yes, sir.
You're looking at a 2-hour course. The 2-hour course is the minimum that's required for building officials and inspectors to maintain their certifications and their licenses. They're the same ones that are going in and issuing CO to buildings. And if we don't at least give them the height and location requirements and that signage is required to be Braille, it's not being done now and it will not be done unless we hammer it home. An example, I went to a building that had the electrical room, danger keep out. It was not in Braille. The architect's comment was, well, they're not supposed to go in that room anyhow. And I said, well, tell them.
I have a much more effective diagram if the committee would want it, where it shows a lady coming out of a bathroom and she's putting her hand where the sign should be, and then there's a man too. And it says 60 inches. I mean, I have these that I put in reports. So if you wanted the signage and where it's supposed to go in heights, there are better schematics, and I would be happy to submit it for consideration in this one.
What is the group think? Yes, ma'am.
I think the question is it's a two-hour course, and I agree with you, Dwight. We've got to get to all the information. But
yes.
I think the intent is to hit, in the two-hour, those four key areas. Parking, accessible route, vertical accessibility.
Well, this is part of the accessible route if you're trying to find a conference room.
No, well, I agree.
Tells everybody
and we can,
else how to get
and
there.
We can add in an awful lot into this presentation that goes back to whether or not this is something we need to put in the four-hour as opposed to the two-hour. And do we as a group want to maintain the four bullet items of these are what we're going to, this is what we're going to
cover. I see what you're saying.
There's no question it's the education that there's needed. And the four-hour course, I think it's wise to have it and elaborate on it. With the 2 hours, is that do we want to depart from those four items?
I feel it's part of the accessible route. The slide's already in there. If we can just give a decent slide
okay.
showing location and height.
So will a new picture, a new photo, would that be acceptable to the
or
group?
Maybe just some bullet points underneath, you know, 60 inches of center line, braille, raised
left
letters.
Side, hinge side.
Pictures are magic. I'm telling you, federal judges, when they see pictures, it goes from day to night.
Well, if you showed a picture, you'd have to have a slide with it, I would think, to actually say how many inches. In other words, a slide that follows it or precedes it.
The only hazard you have in putting that in there is now you have to say this is for permanently designated spaces and rooms.
Really
to differentiate
it,
it kind of opens it up.
It's in the three slides.
How much do we want to do that? I mean, if you're adding two or three slides now. And the two or three slides is another, you know, 2 or 3 minutes at least to talk about it.
Why don't we take out the signage now, and then at the very end when we summarize, if we look through the rest of this and
okay.
we see that there's an overriding need for it, we'll put it back.
Okay, delete.
To delete from now.
All right, slide 7, delete. For now. Slide 8, title entrances. 11-4.14. First comment, include full text. Staff, keep it simple.
So this says that if there's a bus stop, you know, 400 yards away, and this is the accessible entrance, you've got to have a connection between this accessible entrance and that public transportation stop.
Yeah, but the comment is, do we need the full text? Again, I keep going back to you can't repeat the entire book into the presentation.
No, you can't.
And I think somewhere we should do in the instructor's notes a recommendation that they buy the books and hand them out. You know, if you're charging $75 or $100 to come to this course, you can just charge the $15 in it
yeah.
and get the book with it, and then that way you don't have to repeat the full text.
That was very
and people can follow through in the book, you know, or have the book there. I'm against just repeating the text over and over again, because again, they can just read the text.
Agreed, but I think it is helpful to have the code sections just listed. So at least
have
they
the
know
numbers.
Where to go.
Yeah, the numbers are okay. Yeah, I have no problem with that.
Well, and that's in the title, of course. Unless there's any other specifics. Yeah, Bruce.
One other thing, too. I agree with the entrances and the title and all that. However, there's one other thing, too. Again, starting with, like we did before, with the definitions under 11-3.5, you've got the, again, what the entrance is as far as accessibility. So you've got everything right there, so it ties into your definition, what you're talking about first, then it goes into your scoping, and then it goes into your specifics. That's a good definition.
Now, one of the things that's not mentioned here, and I don't see it on the slides, is entrances, this is easy. The biggest issue that's now coming up, Jeff was involved in a big one, is exits, means of egress. And boy, I tell you, if we had a room full of building officials, you're not going to get them to all agree. It says in here that all life safety means of egress shall be accessible, all of them. And what I'm seeing now is people now going out taking off the fire exit signs. We're taking the sign off saying this, that it's not a required life safety games that they're playing. It's sad. So we can leave.
Well, it gives you an exception too. Area rescue assistance shall be provided.
Anyway, Benny mentions that this is a two-hour course. Maybe you want to leave it a two-hour course. Entrances is fine, but boy, I tell you, in some course, either in the two-hour or the four-hour means of egress, and you need to spend some time on it. That's becoming a huge issue.
The four-hour it is, really, and that's the one you were talking about, maybe doing a core. It's mentioned a lot.
Well, it is, but all right, let me make a suggestion. If we're talking about entrances, should we not have something that says means of ingress or means of egress and make a comment, or do you want to shy away in a two-hour course from the means of egress?
And this goes back to the signage one. How much are we going to try to cram in 2 hours?
Yeah. Bruce?
Yeah, it seems like, to me, there's a few key elements there. One of them that you mentioned is the entrances. The other one you mentioned means of egress. Again, you know, maybe a slide with just the definitions of a few things. I mean, you can't cover them all now, but if you think that those are what everyone, the key issues that people don't understand, maybe there's a slide for definitions. Slide for definitions. But again, you're extracting it from the code. So you're just, you know, saying, here's what's in the code. And the whole idea was to maybe teach, you know, maybe you could have an instructor note saying, see, you know, see definitions for means of egress, see for entrances and this sort of thing, where you can cue the person teaching to make sure it
anyway,
does.
Anyway, just as a practical thing, I'm getting a lot of calls from Martin County. They're building a lot of these strip shopping plazas, you know, 10, 15. There's no such thing as from the back door, there's a step or two steps down. Okay, so now are these required to be accessible means of egress? The answer I tell them is yes.
Yeah.
But that's big.
Well, Bruce, for some reason, my comments aren't on here. I don't know if you got them or didn't get them, but one of my comments that I had included was just that. You know, recommend to at least provide an example in the instructor notes. And let's come up with an example. At least 50% of all public entrances must be accessible. At least one must be ground floor. And actually, that's not even the key one. It's all required fire exits, at least 50% of entrances. And giving some sort of example of that. That's a perfect example that Bill was putting out on the table. Strip shopping centers. What do you do out the back door? Is it a required fire exit? It's not a required fire exit. And now that goes back to the building code. And that determination. That becomes a very big issue. And you know, do you get people out of the building? Do you get people out and away from the building? That's also a big controversy. I don't see it as a controversy, but you've got to get people back to as means of egress. It takes you back to the public way.
The only thing I got from you are two things. One on 11-4.1.3 (5), add to end of exceptions. When I first saw that in the
Was an email. But I sent you a PowerPoint with my comments in here.
I didn't get that.
Oh, well, I have them right here.
Okay. So if I missed that, because I did integrate everyone's, but I saw these two here, and to me those were legislative,
was a
change.
That was a separate issue. Okay. That was adding to the subcommittee's recommendation list.
Okay.
But I have my comments are on here. I can email them to you. We'll
okay.
Just see them as we go.
Dwight.
Sorry about that.
On this slide, would it be possible to add another bullet point, just picking up paren 9?
Where are we on 9?
We're on slide 8, but in the accessibility code under that same section, paren 9, where it says that all accessible
all required.
Yeah, by the life safety code, are required to be accessible or have areas of rescue assistance, and just add that as the last of four bullet points there.
Is it in the code?
Yeah, it's.
I mean, is in the accessibility code?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. 4.1. There's a number of them.
Yeah, but
you're under 14.
No.
It's on page 11.15.
4.1.3, parens 8 and parens 9 deal with entrances.
Correct. In paren 9 says, in building of facilities, or portions of buildings or facilities required to be accessible accessible means of egress shall be provided in the same number as required for exits by local building slash fire safety requirements, which is the life safety code. Where a required exit from an occupiable level above or below a level of access, exit discharge is not accessible, an area of rescue assistance shall be provided. I think we could say all required exits to be accessible or area of rescue assistance. That would be the bullet point. They can go and look at that under 4.14.9 and understand that all required by life safety have to be assessed.
So the bullet you want to add to slide 8 would be add all required exits, no, all required exits to be accessible, and then put then dash 4.114 parens 9?
Paren 9.
9. And then the instructor would.
And the instructor
that.
Can elaborate right. on areas of rescue assistance.
Okay, so that would be the bullet.
Should you then change, if you're not going to add a slide for the exits, should you just put entrances slash exits?
Or means of egress.
Or means of egress.
Or means of egress.
Yeah, I can look at that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ingress slash egress?
Slash egress.
Ingress slash egress.
Yeah. And I'm assuming we're on the third comment.
I think we've all kind of combined everything.
You know, Fair Housing has a great graphic showing the site with going in, coming out, but unfortunately it's residential, it's not a commercial.
Okay, going back to slide 8 to summarize, the two changes made. One change is we're adding, to the first bullet, we're saying entrances slash egress.
No, the very top name, entrances, will be changed.
Oh, in the title.
Slash, right, means of egress, right?
Okay. So change entrances to either ingress slash egress, or you can put entrances, exits.
No, I think entrances, which had before, entrances slash means of egress.
Yes.
Because we're staying with the line. I believe
and
in staying with the line.
Within the title now we're talking
yes,
about.
Within the title.
Within the title.
Number 8.
Okay, title. Entrances slash so means of egress.
Right, that's new language there.
Okay. Watch out, Jeff.
Thanks. You need to make a note someplace. That
all right, and then the added bullet would read all required exits be accessible dash 4.14 parens 9.
Is it 4.14
no,
or is it 4.13?
4.1.3
parens 9. Thank
are
you.
Are we going to reference the pertinent code sections? Just list the section numbers.
If you want to stay consistent, you should.
Then we
in
need
other words,
to
entrance you should have that section, and means of egress you should have that section.
We can do. There's
on that top line. That's what I would say.
Okay, so we've got 3.5, which is the definitions.
Right.
4.1.3, which we just mentioned, but we have got really two sections, 8 and 9.
Right, you do.
Parens 8 and parens 9.
Okay, where it says all required exits to be accessible, that should be 8, parens 8.
It'll be at the very top, where it says slide 8, where entrances.
Uh-huh.
It'll be, you'll have, first of all, I guess you're going to put definitions, we'll put 11.3.5.
Okay. But just write sections.
Or just sections,
I mean,
yeah.
These are just sections they're going to
that's fine.
Talk
that's
about
fine.
This. So they can at least have a go-to place in the
right.
Book.
And then the other ones are?
4.1.3, parentheses 8, and parentheses 9.
Okay, Bruce, I think I missed one. I've got entrance and egress in the 4.13, 8, and 9. And then, oh, there's another one, point.
The very first
more,
one.
There's more than that.
Yeah, the first one is going to be 11-3.5.
11-3.5.
That's the first one.
Okay.
And the next one will be
11-4.1.3
parentheses
8.
8.
Parens
9.
Okay. And I have two more.
Now all this is in the title.
In the title.
Okay.
8.
Would we not have to correct the time?
No.
Okay.
No, I'm going to hit that in a second.
Okay.
I have a way to do that.
Yeah.
This may be optional, but the alteration section is 4.1.6, friends, H, I believe.
Okay, 11.
Dash, I'm sorry.
Dash 4.1.6.
Parentheses, H.
H.
H is in?
House.
House.
Excellent. I was grasping for an H word. And then the final final section is 11-4.14, which is the specifics.
4.14.
Yes, we have definitions scoping. And two scoping, okay. And then the specific section.
Okay. Now all that's in the title.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now one thing you have to consider too, when you change that title, which I think was Dwight was going to say, is it's also going to, we have to go back originally, and we can do this later, and under the scoping, in other words, we're showing what it is. We're going to show that it says entrances. We'll just change entrances to entrances / means of egress.
Means of egress.
Correct?
Right.
So, yeah. But we can do that later as long as we have this.
And the last one was 11-4.14?
Correct. Yes. All right. Do we want to take a 5-minute break here?
Yeah.
Well, look,
we've been sitting for almost 2 hours. Let's say 5, no more than 10. Please. We got lots to do.
Yeah, we got, how many slides are up here? 20?
50.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, not all of them are addressed.
Right. But some of them have 8 comments.
So.
I'll just talk fast.
No, actually, it's, you guys are talking fine because it's not easy to type all this stuff down. My admiration for Betty has increased.
Well, and then when Jeff Blair does it, you know, he has those boxes.
Exactly.
And once the box is formatted a certain way, he drives Betty nuts. You know,
yeah,
I want this over here. And Betty keeps saying, I won't go there, won't go.
Where are the restrooms?
Out and around.
That way.
You know what? I'm waiting for the days that she says, Jeff, I think you need to bring someone from FSU to do this. I would have said that 5 years ago.
I wonder if this thing actually created more work this way or less work. I'm not sure.
No, it's working good.
I think
it's working real good.
Because once it's done and then you get it back to people, then it's like, yes, this is.
Yeah, this is
rather than having staff, you do this, and then staff brings it back, and we need to do this. We need
right,
to do
this
that.
Is not right. But,
this isn't right. Didn't write the right words.
Exactly.
Oh, should I shut this off for now? Or?
Probably.
Yeah.